Maybe your pops was tops. Maybe your father's a bother. If he's angry and mad or an absentee lad, no matter what kind you had, here's Fuck You Dad.
Welcome to another episode of Fuck You Dad, everybody. I am going to take care of some housekeeping stuff. We have housekeeping stuff. First of all, you just listened to the new theme song, which was done by Nolan Watts, fantastic musician. Check him out on Spotify. I think his name on Spotify is Texas Instrument, which is a funny joke about calculators.
Sure.
He has a banging single out right now. And we have a shout out to make, Kenyon, because we have our first, he wanted to be called the King of Patreon. He joined our $10 level, which is called Prove Him Wrong.
Prove Him Wrong, goddammit.
Because you got to prove him wrong. So we got to shout out Rocky Wold. He's the first contributor. He's my best pal. And God bless him. If you hear this right now and you're like, God, I want a shout out on the Fuck You Dad podcast, you can do it by going to our Patreon, www.patreon.com/FUDad, and hopping on that Prove Him Wrong tier. And you can... Eventually, I think what's going to happen is if we get enough people on that tier, we can get a video of my dad realizing how much money we make from the podcast and the look on his face. We're proving him wrong.
I mean, it'll be beautiful. Beautiful. I always wanted to have like the $1 million tier. Nick didn't want to have it where we literally go fuck your dad. You pay us $1 million and we'll fly in and have sex with your father.
Too many messed up people with a lot of money in this world.
Yeah. Just get flown out.
And our third thing is that this episode is so special because I believe it's our first collegiate athlete.
Mm.
Oh, absolutely.
The very funny.
Anybody who's done anything impressive.
No, not that physically. It's Alex Dragovich.
Former collegiate athlete. I've had two packs of cigarettes in the last 3 days, guys. Yeah. So don't.
Well, this is like the VH1 downfall.
Yeah, yes. This is
former,
that part. Yeah, don't.
D1 athlete.
Do not. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
He's got two PBRs in front of him recording a podcast. Feels like you're about to launch into like a thing about QAnon. Like you're like,
right.
Really like bottomed out. You're like, no, I didn't make it to the major leagues because I was on to something.
Right.
I knew what it was all about.
Everything I just blame on my shoulder, you know? every problem.
So I have a ton of questions about leading up to, because you played for Notre Dame, correct?
Yeah, Notre Dame and Boston College.
Hell yes, dude. Mm-hmm. So in high school, which we talk a lot about people's high school careers in this show.
Yeah.
Were you the guy then? You must have been the guy on the basketball team.
High school was very fun for me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's really like fun. I'm very tall and athletic.
Yeah.
High school was awesome. Yeah, I was the guy.
So how did you get funny?
I didn't grow until I was like a sophomore. So I was good, but I wasn't like that good.
Okay.
When I was in high school. And then when I was like a sophomore, I grew to from 5'11 to 6'6".
Damn.
Jesus,
that's like you became a mutant. Like, is anyone
right?
Sitting around,
right. So you're just like a basketball player who's weird to like the best player on the team, and you can't really say he's weird anymore.
Yeah,
it looked
like
you turned into the Hulk. Like if someone saw around and sat around and saw that.
Right.
What
vaccine
did you take?
Yeah.
I do remember people coming up to me and being like, "Are you taller now? Like, are you taller?" Like, it was gradual. So people come up to me in the hallway.
It wasn't all one. Yeah.
Yeah.
More
so,
like ripping out of your shirt in algebra class.
I was still skinny. So, but I got bigger, and then so I had this, I had a good skill set, and then but just added like 7 inches. And I immediately became.
And then like from then it was just it was like it was girls, right? Parties. Were you that cool kid?
I was still
girls, parties, fast cars.
I was still new to the. I remember I was still like very new to like being cool, I guess, like as a sophomore. So then what happened was, junior year we had a really good team.
Yeah,
and we went. Really far in the state tournament, and people started to, and then I started getting more like college attention, and then this girl came up to me. This is how big of the change was.
Uh-huh.
This girl came up to me at a party after the basketball season, and then she goes, "I just heard you were on the team as a sophomore. Like you were on the varsity team as a sophomore. I didn't know that. I thought you just joined the team this year as a junior." And I was the leading scorer as a sophomore.
Wow.
That's how
little anybody cared about you. Like, yeah, but he's 5'7".
I was our leading scorer. Yeah, so it was like, so that's how like out of the cool group.
Nobody even noticed you.
I was.
You could literally be on top of the leaderboard and they're like, who?
Yeah, she was like, I didn't know you were on the team. I was our leading scorer. Yeah, I averaged 20 a game as a sophomore. Yeah. So she was, yeah, so so Damn. The fact
it's
that.
It's really disheartening for the short men of the world out there.
Yeah,
it's
no.
Like you could be on top
well,
of the.
Well,
the
no, I got, I actually, I had gotten to 6'6 by the time I was a sophomore. So that's the thing. I was like throughout.
That was just, your growing season, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
As
so
you,
into,
that's
yeah.
crazy. You were powering up.
Right. So then by the end of that year. I was still a good player, but yeah, that, I think that was, so from sophomore year to junior year was like a, until I was like 17, I wasn't cool. And then from 17 and 18.
I'm always, because
you came in late.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so, why you're bearable.
Right. Because I was
so.
Like,
cool the whole time. It's like, you can't talk to that guy.
I agree. Yeah. So I wasn't, like, you know, freshman year, there's like that group of guys that like every, freshman sophomore, that like all the girls are talking to.
Yes.
Like
yes.
my friends, I was on the peripheral because I was a basketball player.
Uh-huh.
But I was never the
you're not the go-to guy.
No, but then once we went like once the team was really good and everything, people were going to the games.
You were like a poor man's popular kid.
I'm fascinated in those dynamics because I was always in I was in a massive high school, like 900 mm-hmm. people were in my class.
Oh right, yeah.
And the top guys were our hockey team because I grew up in Minnesota.
Cool. Oh, cool, yeah.
And they fucking levitated. Like, they had the hair and the jersey and shit, yeah. And they could get away with it.
Sounds
anything.
Like an 80s movie. I don't.
Yeah, I've heard Minnesota high school hockey is like next level. I heard
it's great. They're local celebrities, too, because, like, you know, people fucking eat that shit up. And the mm-hmm. hockey games were, like, electric. And, you know, they're, like, fighting people on the ice, too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like there's a whole bunch of.
No, they're running. They're on,
the
they're
worst
running
people
on
now.
Knives to punch
people. Now they're all like fucking. They were like selling Herbalife
hockey dudes in college too were really sought after by women. They had those dudes have like amazing bodies and they're all
yes.
like 5'11", so they're like or 6 foot, so they're like a normal height. You're not like a weird. They're like a rocked up. Normal looking dude who's on a.
You sound very like jealous and resentful. They're like they're not this weird,
they're rocked up.
Not this weird giant curse to have to throw a yeah. ball in a hoop.
I think when I think
don't
when,
walk the
I
earth.
I think when I transferred, the girl I was dating at Notre Dame like fucked some hockey dudes, so I was like,
I've
always been out for them.
Yeah.
No, so, playing college, what was your? Do you have like a favorite, a game experience?
Yeah, I mean, probably yeah. Some of my best. When we beat Syracuse and they're number one in the country, that was great.
Damn.
You're saying it with the chill and confidence of someone who did that. You're like, yeah, when we beat Syracuse, number one in the country. That was pretty chill, I guess.
No, it was great. Like, it was a very surreal experience because when we beat them, we were at Notre Dame. It was a Friday night, too.
Oh,
or maybe
that's
got to
be
night.
The fucking shit,
everyone,
dude. At home.
Everyone just got back on campus. It was like a January game. And what happened was there's like two bars like that are downtown that are really popular. So obviously we all get to go in there immediately. Like
yeah.
We all just kind of pass up the line, whatever. And it's a sports bar. So there's like 20 TVs all around the bar. And the bar is just playing SportsCenter. And all SportsCenter keeps playing on loop is that like down goes number one. Like Syracuse.
Yes.
Loses
oh,
internet.
My God.
So
what a fantasy.
Yeah. And they played three highlights the whole night. It was so like, you know, when they're talking about the game, there's
yeah.
three plays that's kind of B-roll that's going.
Right.
One was my friend dunking. Another one was my other friend making a shot. And one was me making a three. Oh. So like every so often I like get a beer from like the bar. And I just look up and just be me making a three at like 1 a.m. I was like, what the fuck just happened?
You would just go
yeah.
to the bar and then see a montage of the greatest moment of your life.
Yeah.
That's just, how many people will get to do that? You go to a bar and see like your wedding day. And
yeah.
You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, how awesome would that be?
You get to watch yourself on SportsCenter at 1 a.m. Like, it was a really euphoric. It was crazy, man. You're
so
like, whoa.
That's got the. The difference. So, how different did it feel when you? When did you first start doing stand up?
Oh, I was 23, so like 6 years ago.
Okay, and
I started doing stand-up right after college, yeah.
Right after college, okay. Because the ego must have taken a big hit. I mean, you see yourself on SportsCenter at a bar at 1 a.m., you know what I'm saying? You're a king of the fucking tits. And then you go to
a dive bar bombing.
Yeah.
Someone at a dive bar being like, get this fucking giant off stage.
Did you struggle with that at all? Yeah. Or like, was starting comedy... Because I was already nothing. So like, it didn't matter. Yeah, it didn't. Like, bombing was like, whatever, bro. So like, to go from like really fucking killing it in one field and to do something totally different, did you struggle with like that transition at all?
I think it was a motivator to like get good, probably.
And you have that mindset too.
That's such an athlete answer. Yes. Like, I think it just pushed me. You know what I mean? I think honestly, what I want to do is next season. Like, you should have post set.
I do think,
interview. He's like, okay, that was on me. The tags weren't ready.
Well, yeah, it's just
next set we'll really have them.
Honest, like 100% honestly, it really is just like. It's just like, when I graduated from college and I came back to Chicago, obviously I had a lot of friends who are from the suburbs here, and I had friends who went to Notre Dame and Boston College who are here. So like, they were all like going to like, you know, like the bars, like, you know, River North, Old Town, whatever. And they were going out and like partying till like 3 or 4 in the morning and just like kind of, I don't know. It was a brunch the next morning. It all felt, that just felt so like stale. So I just preferred, whether it was going well or not, like I just preferred to just be
kind of escape Groundhog's Day.
I would just rather be doing stand up than that.
And it's so cool when you start out too. If you like it enough, I was just astonished that I was technically doing stand up comedy.
And that was also something that was hard to explain to people, was like, especially when I was like 23, where they're like, why aren't you like playing professionally or like overseas, you know? Like, why aren't you in Europe?
Oh, yeah.
I'd just be like, I don't know, I just like, I want to do this, you know? And I didn't know how to explain it.
You're like, well, I just don't want to do that.
Yeah, I just
live in the Ukraine and just walk around.
I was just like, I think this is like better. Yeah, it's really hard to explain to anybody about
it. Well, right, because objectively they'll be like, but you were a basketball player and likes you. And you're like, no, and I have a joke about what my girlfriend said now. I don't think you realize how what. No, it's like she said this. No, and I have like a clever retort.
I have a joke about what a weird thing a girl said during sex.
Yeah, like once. You ever been on Tinder and you kind of have like a I got some hot takes on. Do you understand?
I don't know what it was, dude. But I mean, you've been with me the past couple of days. I was bummed Sunday night, and I just like went to Zany's and watched a show. I could be in a comedy club every single night for the rest of my life, I think. So I don't know like if it's a there's wasn't a conscious I don't think it was super conscious. It was just like, I gotta do stand up.
Yeah.
Like, where do I gotta go?
It was calling
the man's
you.
Goddamn destiny.
It calls people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's your destiny.
Yeah.
Just remember this fruitful romance when you're just in Omaha. You know what I mean? Sleeping in your car. Like, I could be at a comedy club every night in your life. Mm-hmm. And guys, you have to sell appetizers during your set, or you ain't getting paid.
Can you plug the mozzarella sticks while you're up there?
Middling for like an 80s road hack, being like, this is better than basketball.
The worst set of my life was when I was featuring, technically, and I shouldn't have been. I was like a year in or something. And it was for a guy who went by the stage name Lil Cooter. Everybody, because his tagline was "Everybody loves a little cooter," which is like the creepiest fucking thing.
It makes me uncomfortable as you said it.
Yeah, it's so creepy. And he was like in his 60s. He was like a beach comedian.
Right.
And worst kind.
People had walkers in the, like, and not even like regular walkers, like the walkers with tennis balls on them.
Right.
So old they can't handle friction. You know.
Yeah.
And all my jokes at that point were, I mean, they still are, about like drug, sex, drinking, fucking, all this stuff that they didn't want to hear about. Mm-hmm. At least not from me.
Yeah.
And I got the most difficult heckle, because normal heckles are like, "Boo, you suck," and then you can kind of come back from that. I got a no thank you that night.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
From an elderly woman.
Yeah. Yeah, old women are pretty brutal.
Well, they don't have a lot of time left, and they're going to say their thoughts, and that's what she thought.
Just love, no thing. And you're just like, oh, never mind. You just, yeah, like, sit down.
That's
go,
literally
you just, like,
how
go
I
back
felt.
To community
I felt
college.
Like,
you're like, oh, yeah, actually.
Like, I brought her, like, I was waiting on her table, and I brought her the wrong dish. I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'll fix that.
And in a way, you did. Yeah. I mean, you did.
I do, like, a little setup, like, in between a joke where I say I'm going to drink a lot after this set, and then I get into, like, drinking jokes.
Yeah.
And I was like, so I was doing, like, I was like, oh, I'm gonna drink a lot after the set, and then just like last week, an old lady in the crowd just goes, "Me too."
All right. Okay, Gladys.
It's moments like that where you're like, God, that was really funny, but please don't do that.
But right. It's my turn.
Yeah,
it's my thing. Yeah. You can have fucking Applebee's. You can have the booth. Kill at the booth there. Right. I got this stage for 20 minutes or whatever.
Right, and I wasn't even doing that bad. I was just like, fuck, you know, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. Sometimes
you,
I mean,
did you acknowledge it?
It killed so hard. I didn't really want to go into it.
You mean her saying me too, or
yeah,
you?
Yeah, her saying me too killed so hard. I was like, okay.
She just left on that.
Yeah,
she, like, you just, that's you just, my time. You just handed her the mic and calmly left the stage. That's fine. Yeah. Like, it killed so hard. I don't want to talk about it. That's my clip. Actually, it's just her setup, and then her saying me too.
Yeah, there's nothing.
And that went viral on TikTok
to an old lady saying that shit.
Yeah,
so.
So, and where did you grow up, Alex?
The suburbs of Chicago, Northbrook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, North Shore.
And so, I feel like, I mean, were you the funny guy on the basketball team? Like, your whole life, was that your... Because you must have been playing basketball.
Yeah, in college, yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay. Where do you think, like, when did you start to realize you were funny, you think?
Not on this podcast.
For sure not on this podcast.
Folk music. I was like, he knows we can't see the montage he's singing. Yeah, right? I'm just talking to him right now. This Lord Huron plays in his head.
Yeah, I tried. Hey, don't you guys feel like this? Don't you guys feel like you've been trying to make people laugh in every conversation you've ever been in your whole?
I used to have bit, like, in elementary school. Remember, I'd say something and someone would laugh and be like, "Keep that one. Say that again." To like later people, and I'm like, you tell that story, add some tags there, and so you had like a high five.
Yeah, like at recess.
My brother's older than me, and his friends would be over all the time. I was just trying to clown, like be a clown for them. I just all the time, like every.
When I first did stand up that first time, it clicked. It was like, oh, this is what I've been doing the entire time in my brain. I've been trying to be like writing little thinking of things to say to people to make them laugh and stuff. So I did feel it
all came together.
Yeah. It all came together. Well,
you do feel like when you were. You realize why people, like for me, I realized why people thought I was annoying at parties was because I was trying to find a stage there.
Yeah.
And now it's really nice. It's nice to be able to do stand up and be just very like normal at social functions.
Well, it's so funny that, like if you go to a comedian house party, there's almost like no music. Because everyone's in their own little space, sort of like yelling at each other.
Sure.
And it's loud, but in a different way. And I think it's because everyone wants to be, but everyone's kind of trying to be funny little bit. And everyone's kind of fucked up. And then if you go to a regular party, almost no one's talking to each other because that's not something that they're good at. It's just like loud ass music and.
No, but people are trying to be funny at parties for sure. Everyone tries to like if you go to like a normal.
Everyone's trying to
social gathering. Something. People are trying to do like dumb shit, but it's the but the nice thing about doing stand up is that when you go to those things, you can just kind of watch people.
Yeah,
because you're like I already have a part of my day.
As long as they don't know that you do stand up,
right? Which
once
is fine.
That happens, then it's,
well, it's nice now too because they're like, you know, when people try to size you up, you go to like a friend's party, and you know they're like, oh yeah, Alex is stand up, and they're like where do you perform? I'm like, anywhere you've been here.
You're like come out and see me in front of 300 people.
Yeah, like where do you go? They're like, do you go to Zane? Yeah, I go to Zane.
Do you laugh
at? Yep, I'm there too. I was there last night. You know, so it's like, it's just like a, you know, it's nice to just go to a party and just, you can just, you become like a, I feel like I've become just more of like a listener at parties. You know, more than like I
sound enlightened.
What's that?
Sound enlightened.
Well, you just
sound like you're a monk. You're like, I became a real listener. Like, I got really into. Well, I'll tell you why. Because the fucking void's never filled, Alex.
No,
I don't care if I just killed two shows. I'm gonna make these people fucking laugh.
Nah,
I got the I got the Grand Canyon in my soul, motherfucker. I don't care.
If you've like spent all day writing, you kill two shows. You go to a party. For me, at least, I'm usually just like,
Alex. That's the third set.
That's the third set.
I go in the car. I don't give a fuck.
I get filled up.
I don't.
If I get a nice satisfaction,
I don't know, because the other shows, that gives me the confidence to even be funnier at this party.
That's true.
I'm sure that's what people say.
Just drunk and screaming.
That guy we don't know, Kenyon, was real loud tonight.
Just came in.
I'm supporting my family.
Screaming. It's a call back to a conversation we had before.
Okay, Alex. We haven't even touched on. I'm trying to figure out a good dad question for you. Did your dad play basketball
in high school? Yeah.
Okay.
In Minnesota, actually. Yeah.
Oh yeah, where at?
Duluth North.
Duluth.
He's from Duluth. Yeah.
Damn, he's a real northerner.
He's up there.
He's got the voice too.
Yeah, like when we would go to visit his side of the family, they all live on one lake, and they all. Pretty much, instead of like, I've never seen them drive their cars. They just drive snowmobiles and four wheelers.
Snowmobiles are the most dangerous, cool thing in the world.
I really do feel like they have life figured out in Duluth, because you just everything is insanely like cheap in a way that we couldn't even imagine. Everything's cheap.
Well, you pay differently. The cold, dude, the wind,
right?
Rain.
I know what you're saying, but it's not. But it's
the suicide.
The suicide. Yeah, that one murder, like three.
Oh yeah, there was that. There's always a couple murders up there.
But yeah, I just feel like they've got it. They fish. They hang out, they hunt, and
right.
They
eat and drink. You just get hammered to get on a four wheeler.
Yeah,
and they're like, why are you chasing your dream? You're like, the dream's right here, brother.
It's like a six pack and a four wheeler. I think I've had it because I would visit them over summer, so I'd take like the pontoon out on the lake, and you're just like, oh yeah, this is beautiful. Probably how you should live your life.
Yeah, you pontoons out
like,
on the lake.
You should just like live on a lake and not try to
fill the void.
Get Instagram
well, we'll try
followers.
To get there one day. One day we'll try to get to a point where we can live in the pond.
I'm so delusional. I think that I'm doing comedy to try to buy a house on a lake and not do it again. But really, it's an addiction that is never going to never gonna be filled.
But yeah, he played basketball.
Did he coach you at all? Was he ever your coach? Was he that dad?
He wasn't a coach. He was pretty... He's pretty hard on me, but yeah, he never coached me on a team or anything like that.
So you had like backyard sessions?
Yeah, but he it was his like direction was mostly about like effort and and like hard work and like understanding the like the discipline of it. So if he caught me like not shooting in the driveway one day, he'd be like, you're going to fall behind and it's going to be...
Oh, okay. Just giving you anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, he was like, if you don't play today, he's like, there's someone else who will. It's going to be...
All that stuff, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. It was constant. That was constant for sure.
Sometimes, though, I wish my dad did that with soccer, because I was pretty good at soccer, but I never did the backyard sessions.
Blame the dad.
Well, he got mad at me for leaving a can out with no coaster. Then he'd be like, "You have no ambition."
Yeah.
Well, that's when he'd give me that kind of talk.
That speech.
But my mom was equally as tough too. So they're just like it was coming from everywhere.
They had a plan to breed a great athlete and a great comedian. They're like, we need to be
together as one.
So
like, yeah,
hard
man.
On him. He's such a good athlete, and then way too hard on him so that he does comedy.
Yeah, I don't know. They were both like very, but they like to joke around too. Like they were very. My mom thinks she's like hilarious. Like she never
she never
lands a joke. She nothing ever lands. She's at parties like just spouting off.
My mom's funny without trying because mm-hmm. she Her big killer, her closer, is fucking up a famous person's name in a way that's like, I'll give you an example. So we were drunk in England with our friends, and she got so excited because they were talking about baseball. We were trying to explain to them baseball, and she goes, "If you want to know anything about baseball, you got to look at Jarek Jeter."
Oh my!
And then she goes, "Oh wait, oh wait." Oh wait!
No.
And then she like
kind of pure though.
It's Derek Jeter.
Just such an innocent.
Yeah, you know she Peter Pan.
There is some like there's dad jokes and there's mom jokes. Mm-hmm. That is a great mom.
Yes,
joke.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
a great
yeah.
mom joke.
She's great for that. Mm-hmm. I want to do like a YouTube thing where I show her a face of a famous person and have her try to guess the name, because sometimes she's like, you know. She goes Spevin Casey, that kind of shit.
Oh, really?
Like,
so your mom just has dyslexia. Your mom's just disabled, and you're like, that's just great jokes. I'm like, your mom has a clear disorder and hasn't been able to read for 30 years. Your mom's just illiterate.
So, Dragovich, you have a quick story about your dad before we get out of here?
Oh, a quick story about my dad.
Maybe one time did you ever... like, did you ever push back against his big speeches or anything?
Time it went off on you.
Maybe did he catch you like smoking weed or something?
No, I didn't smoke weed. He didn't. I didn't really do anything too.
Just something.
I think. Yeah, it's in hindsight, it's funny and how calm he was, because he was he could yell.
Yeah.
But like one time. One time we were in the basement, me and my brother, we were playing Xbox, and I think he could like hear it through the vent a little bit. He told us to like go to bed, and we're like, all right, we'll go to bed, and like then we didn't go to bed.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He just comes downstairs, he like rips the Xbox. Like,
I love that dad. Yeah, I love that dad.
He just like walks upstairs. He's like, follow me. And we're like, what? And he's like, he just takes us out to the garage. He's like holding the Xbox. He's like, you guys like playing this thing? We're like, yeah. He's
Oh my god.
No way.
That's like a $300 fucking.
He like chucks it on the ground. He just goes, play it now. He just goes to bed.
I love what you're just like, I can't think of a story. And you just like stared out the distance for a second. Like, well, there's this one time. And he just picked up an Xbox.
Well, he did shit like
chucked
that.
It
like,
on the ground.
You know,
that's a $300 move. See, my dad, that's too broke. You can't throw away arguably one of the most expensive things in the house.
Yeah.
On the ground. But your dad has enough where he's like, no, this is going to prove a point now.
Kenyon's dad is more like, listen, I pawned the Xbox, but I got this metal detector. There's treasure in the backyard.
That's exactly the move. No. Yeah. If he's taking the Xbox, he's like, you guys like playing this. You have plenty to play as I sell this Xbox and put it all in the Mets.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was a...
I would have lost my mind because I was a huge video game kid. I did the same thing all the time.
How did that feel? Just as a kid, that would crush your... That guy went right... That's like if he shot your fucking dog in there.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, it was like that, you know. Like, it was just shit like, you know. It was like a fear-based
home.
North Korea. You're just describing Soviet Union. It's like, one step out of line.
Well, we were just...
Just follow the grand leader and they got no fucking problems.
It was
man.
A scare... Yeah, you're just like scared of him, you know? So, I don't really...
Jesus, you smashed the Xbox on the ground.
Yeah, super calmly, too.
There's something in the family budget where he's like...
Oh, he did it like mob style, like with a straight face. Like, he didn't, like, really... No, like,
he asked me, he's like, do you like playing this? And I was like, yeah.
Did you already know in your head where you're like, I know this?
I did say yeah.
Was it next to a pile of broken Xboxes? Is it like the 11th Xbox
And you're like, no, we didn't get one for a long time after that.
Now video games are a secret thing after that.
Yeah, dude. It was, we got another one.
I didn't
get another one until I got to high school. So I was like probably in 7th grade. I think my mom got me one. I was like a freshman.
Oh, the man took video games out of commission for 3 years?
Yeah, he's
that's a fucking wild.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, I don't know, man. He was just, they were, they came from, you know, like my mom was doing her mom, like my grandma's taxes when she was like 12 because they were Serbian, you know. That's just kind of like that's just kind of the style, man. It's a very hardcore.
All of us had, I mean, yeah. Kenyon has a...
Yeah, you're like second or third generation? Or?
No, my mom's from El Salvador.
Yeah, mom's from El Salvador. My dad's from England. So he...
this guy.
That's still an immigrant. People fight on me. That's an immigrant. You know what I mean?
It's not a hard. It's like moving to Massachusetts.
Who the fuck does this guy
moving from
think?
Florida to Massachusetts. It was the hard journey.
I get it. My dad's from England.
I get it. The hard journey.
You're a psycho. If there's any country that Americans revere, it's people from England.
You're true. He did get a boost from it.
Yeah,
I think he's
like,
think
people just
cool.
think it's cool. There's no one spitting on him on the street.
It's privilege. It's privilege.
He wasn't standing in line for work. It was just
no, he wasn't. He opened like his mouth. And
it's like if he
like
went
hired.
To spring break and just was like, I'll just live here now. That's the experience.
If you said you come from an immigrant family, I think I would like punch you. Dude, like, that's so lame.
That's why I stopped
that.
Doing that joke.
Yeah, I come from an immigrant. What? No, you don't, dude.
You mean the place where the language we're speaking's from? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, but elaborate on how you can relate to
well,
me.
Well, he had anger problems, you know. So I do get. I do
no,
get.
That's fair. That's
and
fair,
he
yeah.
did.
Different cultures.
Different cultures.
No, I understand.
And he did once. He got pissed off at the video games, but he never went as far as to break it. And I think it's because he would buy. He bought
it's the
it.
It's the money thing. Because that's what I like about his dad. His dad had like a budget where it's like, what's this $300 thing to write? It's like letting him know.
Yeah.
Like teaching these fucking kids a lesson.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what.
It's true.
I remember there was once, now I think it was like sex related because I think he was trying to have sex with my mom,
mm-hmm.
but we were still awake. Like it was like a sleepover or something because it was in front of my friends. And he came downstairs and he was like, it's 1 o'clock in the fucking morning. You need to go to bed. And everyone was like scared. And I was like, it's fine. It's fine. He's not going to do anything. And then like 1:45 comes around and he comes downstairs and he's like, right. And he did take he took like the controllers, you know, he didn't break it, but,
Yeah, dude, dad's taking the video games is real.
It really shuts the vibe down too. Cause
Yeah.
Mom taking the video games is like, okay, I guess we'll play board games or something. But dad taking it is like, no, this is game over.
Yeah, it's
this
done.
Is, yeah, yeah, it's done.
It's done now.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Alex. Do you have anything you want to plug before you go?
No, it's just I'm at Alex Drags on Instagram. That'd be great.
Okay.
Just
awesome.
I am on your show at the Comedy Bar the day after this comes out, Saturday
cool.
night, sweet. October 9th. So if you're
check Nick out,
come out
it.
To the Comedy Bar. You can, because you're gonna be there, right? You host
yeah,
that bad
I think
boy.
I'll be there. Yeah, I might not. I don't know.
He might be too cool to even come to his own show.
Who knows?
I don't like doing it a lot.
Yeah, Alex may kill himself after this pod. But anyway, thanks for coming on. It's a fun time.
Hey guys, you just listened to another episode of Fuck You Dad. If you could. Follow us on our Instagram, which is FCKYOUDAD podcast. That's the important one. We also have a Twitter account, which is FCKYOUDADPODCA1. If you could follow that. Also, please submit any father stories that you have that you'd like us to make fun of, laugh at, or share. Shoot that to our Instagram DMs. And if you could please go ahead and rate the podcast, share the podcast with your friends and family that might enjoy it, and keep listening. Thank you so much.